Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the NBA is back, and the NBA opening night was last night. The Wolves, they tip it off tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers late. But last night had to have been, in my opinion, for the NBA on opening night, that was the biggest win of the season. And when I say the biggest win of the season is the fact that last night the NBA had the Houston Rockets and Kevin Durant go on the road to face his former team, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the reigning NBA champions, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the reigning MVP, and they went to double overtime. They went to double overtime. And the best part of it, it was on NBC. It was on NBC. That is a massive win for the NBA. We can sit here and we can talk about the NBA and what's available on what networks and what streaming options and all of that. Because it was just revealed a couple of days ago, if you wanted to watch every single game this year, which that's super diehard, that will be my former colleague in Kansas City that wants to watch every single second of every single sports event. But if you want to watch every single NBA game, it would cost you out of pocket to get all the services and stuff. It would cost you $660. I think that was according to a Sportico. But this is the deal, which I'm not paying $660. I got different streaming services, and I got cable and all that, but I'm not paying all that. But that's a win for all of us, is to be able to get a doubleheader of the Rockets and OKC into Lakers with Luka taking on Steph and Jimmy Buckets on a Tuesday night. So you get all night of basketball, and it's on NBC. That is a win for us as fans. Now, there's going to be nights, though, where it's not going to be a win, where it's going to be Amazon Prime, where it's going to be Peacock. And by the way, I'm not paying additional for Peacock. I'm not going to do it. I'm not bending the knee to NBC. I don't need to see every single game because I'm not wired that way. I got other things that I want to do in my life. But that was a win last night, and I'll take it.
Would you start out with a double overtime thriller and then you're joining the Lakers and the Warriors in progress? And like you said, the very fact that the NBA has gone through all of these rights changes, these negotiations, it's kind of like the NFL and Major League Baseball. Like, this is just the way of the world. We can sit here and we can complain and we can gripe and we can yell and we can pine for the good old days. The bottom line is the business model has changed for all of these sports. And you're going to have to go to different platforms to find different games. But the fact that it was,
unfortunately,
but the very fact that it was over the air, network TV, and back on NBC, like NBC, this is primetime programming for them to take a Tuesday night and, like, you know what? We're going to dedicate it to basketball because you got people that are so, they are so tied to their programming.
Carol 11 News was not scheduled to come on until 11:30.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got people that are just, I'm expecting my shows at such, I don't even know what's on Tuesday night on NBC because I don't watch Tuesday night because we're working. But you got people that are like, this is my routine. All of a sudden, you're upping the routine. Well, you better make it worth it. And right now, at least for sports fans, last night, totally worth it.
That was a win. 651-461-9226. Are you guys with me with this particular topic? Do you think that this is indeed the win that I'm making it out to be? Or do you think that I'm too nostalgic about NBC and the NBA? Because I don't think that I am.
I don't think people really... I mean, yeah, you think about the NBA on NBC, but I don't think people are really tied to it like they were in, you know, in the 90s when it was a big deal, because you got so many different places you can find your sports. It's like it used to be NBA and NBC. That was a thing. It's back, but it's not as big as it used to be.
Yeah, but at least it's free now.
At least it's free.
At least for a night or so a week. Charles Barkley weighed in on the topic, and he quite honestly was not all that excited about the NBA from the perspective of having to go to so many different places to watch all the games.
I think the NBA's got a big problem. How are regular fans gonna, like, okay, it's Tuesday, especially when they start putting games
on. Where do I go?
Well, like, because, you know, sometimes the game's gonna be on Peacock. And, like, it's not gonna be on NBC. I think that's a huge dilemma for the NBA.
Guess what? They don't care.
They got so much money.
They're going to wipe their tears with cash.
Bill, I'm so glad you said that. I think it's a big deal because they just took all the money from all three networks. I don't think they give a about the fans. And I think this is going to come back to bite them, to be honest with you. And then the thing that's scary, this deal is for 11 years.
Right.
So now people complain all they want to. For the next 11 years, they don't give a about the fans. They're like, y'all, if y'all find the games, fine. Just make sure the check clears.
All right, so I love that Charles Barkley weighs in on a lot of this.
He ain't wrong.
The fans are not going to be turned off enough, though, for the NBA to change their ways. They're not going to. They're not going to, like, be in a protest to say, no, we're not doing this, we're not paying all this stuff. I just don't see it happening. I think that there are going to be some people that will say, you know what, I gotta have my NBA, I gotta do that, and they're just going to pay whatever the rate is. I'm not doing that because I'm not that guy, because I pay enough money for Timberwolves tickets. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it.
I think there are people out there, though, like the casuals are not going to go searching for it. If it's there, they're going to watch. If it's not easily accessible, or if they need to subscribe to another platform or Peacock or wherever, they're like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. It's the same thing that Major League Baseball is running into. Same thing that Major League Soccer or the WWE. The only league that can do this and get away with it is the NFL. They are the only sports league that could have...
But that's the reason why I think that the NBA might be able to get away with it a little bit with Peacock, is because the NFL, remember, they were the ones that jumped in on the Peacock thing. And remember, I mentioned this a couple years ago. I said, I'm not paying to see one playoff game a year or whatever. Now those who are justified, they're like, well, you know what? I'm already paying for Peacock for the NFL. I might as well just go ahead and keep it because I'm getting NBA now.
Yeah, and I mean, people are not, if you don't have it by now, I don't see the NBA. The NBA is not going to be the hook to get these people to be like, oh, I got to have Peacock.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I feel like you're diehards. I mean, you are as diehard a Wolves fan as I know. But kind of to go back into the first part of the show, there's also, you're more than just basketball. You're more than just wanting to watch sports. There are some people that their entire life is tied up by, I got to watch my sports. I got to watch all my basketball. Like, I got to bet on my basketball. I got to do all of this. Those are the people that I think they're marketing to. And this is where I think Charles Barkley is correct long term. you can go with these TV contracts and you can go with all of these, you know, rights negotiations. 5 years down the road, how are you going to cultivate more fans, the casual fans? You need to make your product easier to access, not harder to access. And I feel like this is what's happening. And again, I'll put Major League Baseball in the same situation mm-hmm. because, you know, they're doing it again. WWE, this, everybody looks at what the NFL, they're like, man, the NFL, they've got it down. So everybody wants to copy them. The NFL's different. The NFL can do things that nobody else can do.
All right, so this text from the 320, this is from Carrie and White Bear. Well, my hope is that it might draw a few more NBA fans. The truth is all sports is this way. It's gotten ridiculous. You have to be rather wealthy to be able to follow all of this. You have Amazon for football, and you have streaming services for other football games. NBA is no different, and it is ridiculous. I wish Antenna TV would come back so that the layperson would have the opportunity to enjoy sports and get away from the realness of life sometimes. Love the text from Kerry and White Bear. I do miss the good old days of WGN and TNT and the Superstation.
And TBS.
And us being able to
watch the Braves and the Cubs and Bozo the Clown.
That's what I meant to say. TBS and WGN.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And so I love her text. And she's right.
She is absolutely not wrong.
I just, this is what I think it is, okay? And Kerry, follow me on this. And you can text back if you think that this is correct. I think that the NBA doesn't care if they're not able to do a great job of getting so many people back or losing some people via streaming, because I think that they don't view that they're going to lose as many streaming. You know why? Because the NBA is trying to grow it globally.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are saying, and this is just me, this is my opinion, I think that they are saying, you know what? If Americans aren't as willing to go ahead and pay a few more extra dollars, you know what? We're building it globally, and we want to get more people buying from all over than just here locally.
That is a dangerous game to play, because you've got people that have been lifelong fans of the NBA.
But they're saying, screw it, we're going to build in other places.
And
we're making it more global. Yeah. You know what? They're banking on being more global.
They're banking, and it's basically deuces to the people that have followed it for their entire life. And as it goes with this, you might have less people domestically, but it's also going to be a higher price point. The dollar per subscriber, like the metrics have changed. The metrics for, I think, broadcasting are constantly changing, and it sucks. It absolutely sucks that the casual fans are now being priced out because they've got all of these rights negotiations. You're absolutely right. Like, the NBA wants to be global. The NFL wants to be global. I don't know that Major League Baseball wants to be global. They do have the Japanese
market. They are global. You got Shohei.
Well, yeah.
They're global.
Yeah, they're,
whether you like it or not.
Yeah, they're global to an extent. But you've got these leagues that are, they're thinking a lot bigger. So I don't know. It's so bad when you've got these leagues that are you can see what's happening, and as a fan, you sit back and you're powerless, and you just have to sit there, and whatever they decide to do, you got to deal with the ramifications.
Coming up next, we got Bite of the Night. That's next year on The Good Neighbor. All right, before we get into the Bite of the Night, quickly, just kind of because it's all a part of the Bite of the Night. The U.S. has conducted its eighth strike on an alleged drug smuggling boat, this time in the Pacific Ocean, okay? The other times we were alerted to these situations, we saw video of these people being killed, it was taken in the Caribbean Sea, okay? And I don't know if we have, because I haven't seen it to this point, if we got confirmation on all of these incidents that these, in fact, are people that are smuggling drugs. Because it's one thing of it being a fact. It's another thing of just it's Donald Trump saying as much.
Speculation.
All right. But with that being said, we've had these incidents in the Caribbean Sea with these boats. And by multiple accounts, people are saying, no, some of these are just civilians in fishing boats that are going from one place to the next. And the president is claiming that these people are drug smuggling and just killing them. Okay. Which, by the way, normally the U.S. Constitution gives Congress the exclusive right to authorize military action. Okay. So this is the president going rogue here. But the bite of the night is actually from a Republican by the name of Rand Paul. Rand Paul was talking on the Piers Morgan Uncensored show where he is talking about, because people are talking about Venezuela and fentanyl and all this, and Rand Paul is like, whoa, 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 pump the brakes.
Number one, there is no fentanyl made in Venezuela. Not just a little bit, there's none being made in Venezuela. These are outboard boats that in order for them to get to Miami would have to stop and refuel 20 times. They're in all likely going to Trinidad and Tobago, which is an island right off of the coast of Venezuela. So there's a lot of reasons to be worried about this. But number one is the broader principle of when can you kill people indiscriminately? When you're at war. That's why when we declare war, it's supposed to be done by Congress. It's supposed to be thoughtful. It's supposed to be debated. And we're not supposed to do it willy-nilly. And then when you have war, you just kill people in the war zone. And even then, there are rules of engagement. But interdicting drugs has always been a criminal activity and a criminal anti-crime sort of activity where we don't just summarily execute people. We actually present evidence and convict them.
I am all for preventing and look. I'm not into lawlessness. I'm into preventing crimes and prosecuting criminals. But I think that one of the issues that we are running into is that the Supreme Court is powerless. They've deemed themselves powerless by their actions with Donald Trump, that they don't even want to question him on things that he is doing that are outside of the scope and he's not supposed to be doing per the Constitution. He is supposed to be, okay, talking to Congress about certain things. He is operating as though, and this is why we're having protests because it's no kings, right? He can do whatever he wants. It is a scary place that we are in as a country and that we have somebody that is the president of the United States that thinks that he has power that goes unchecked.
The Supreme Court is, I will disagree that they're powerless. They are doing exactly what they are being told to do by Donald Trump.
That's what I mean.
And they are.
I don't mean that they're powerless in the way that they can stop it. They are powerless in that they are unwilling to.
They're unwilling to stop it. Yes, absolutely. This whole fentanyl coming from Venezuela, fentanyl coming from everywhere. You know what? When there's a problem with Canada, well, there's fentanyl coming from Manitoba. 0.3%? 0.3%. Do you think maybe we've got problems within our borders? Everything is always like, well, they're bringing this inside our country. This is bad for our country. How about the stuff that's already here? We got bad stuff that's already here. Why don't you focus on that? And bomb now, ask questions later.
And that's scary.
Yeah. You know, going to Congress, I am convinced, Henry, that Donald Trump knows less about the federal government than kids in an eighth grade civics class. Because Donald Trump has no idea how government works. He is the president of the United States, but he is acting as if he has all of the power in the executive branch. And that is what he's trying to do, to consolidate into the executive branch. And you're right. That's what the No Kings protests are for. And it's like, whoa, if we had kings, they wouldn't. Yeah. You realize that you're bringing attention to the authoritarianism that is taking place, because all of the norms, it's one thing to say, hey, you know what? We're going to change a few things. Okay, that's fine. I don't think anybody was under the illusion that, you know, everything in government was working hunky-dory for 250 years. Like, we know that there have been issues. But to sit here and say, we're going to tear up the Constitution, and we're going to make things up as we go along, and we're going to claim that it's lawful, that's just not right. So, yeah, I'm absolutely convinced that Donald Trump has no idea what he's doing, and he just doesn't care because as the president, he feels like he has the final authority, even though you've got Congress, you got the Supreme Court, but if nobody's got the testicular fortitude, then here we are.
Coming up next, our weekly segment with a Fox 9 News anchor. It's either Randy Meyer or it's Kelsey Carlson. Tonight, it's Kelsey. She's back. She joins us next here on The Lake Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is Kelsey Carlson. She joins us now, courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. Kelsey, always a pleasure to have you on the show. And I want to start tonight with this. The fact that as I sit here in studio, we have hockey up on one of the televisions. We've got NBA basketball on another television. The Wolves play a little bit later this evening on the West Coast in Portland. Are you as crazed about sports during the wintertime as I am?
I don't, probably not as much as you, Henry. I mean, I like sports and they're fun, but I don't think I'm at the Henry Lake level.
She's like, no way. There's no chance. Oh, she's like, there's no chance. What is your favorite sports during the fall and winter?
Can I say cross country?
Yes, you can say whatever you want. Whatever is like your favorite thing. I know you love to run.
Yeah, no, I like basketball.
Okay.
I grew up in Indiana, and basketball, college basketball is so big there. So I really enjoy college basketball a lot. So I like it when basketball season begins. And
which, by the way, we're gonna have a runner on at the top of the hour. We're gonna have Mayor Jacob Fry coming in studio. I know that he has kind of a history of being a runner. He loves to run.
Oh yeah. I think he may have run professionally when he was younger.
I think that he was efforting to make an Olympics once and just came short, I think.
He's a very fast marathon runner.
That's insane. That is insane.
So, yeah. No, I enjoy sports of all kinds, but I don't know that I get crazy about sports. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, my mood doesn't ride or die on whether a team won or lost.
How many sporting events do you and your family get to a year? And you can put them all in one big group, whether it's Vikings or Timberwolves or Wild or whatever.
Well, do we include high school and college or just professional?
Just college and professional.
Okay. Oh, gosh, it's probably only like 5 or 6.
Mm. I mean, it's a good number. That's more than average.
Yeah.
I don't think the average family attends like 5 college or pro sporting events a year.
We try. Like, we went to a couple Gopher volleyball games last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun. We haven't yet this fall, but and then we'll go to a football game when I go home, hopefully for Thanksgiving, and then we try to get to a Timberwolves game. Have the boys been to a Vikings game yet? I don't think they have yet.
Well,
they went to a preseason game last year. Yeah, so we try to hit something because we are so lucky to have all these pro teams here in town.
Well, look, I cannot have you back on the airwaves and not ask you about you being excited about the Indiana Hoosiers football program, who was the number two rated team in the country. How about that?
How's that possible, right? I mean, I'm dying to know the backstory as a journalist, how this happened so quickly. But it's pretty amazing, and it's fun to text and keep in touch with my college friends because I think we all have this sort of same reaction, like just drop jaw. What's going on here? Last year, one of my friends, you know, I said, how about that Indiana game? And she texted back, yeah, they had fireworks and everything. And I had to laugh because when we saw the fireworks go off at home, I was like, oh my gosh, they bought fireworks for this. Like, this is a big deal. It was never a football school when I was there. Everything was about basketball. So it's been a lot of fun. And I'm so glad that the team is doing well. And they have a new mascot this year. You know, the Hoosiers haven't traditionally had a mascot, but they brought back this bison. And the bison parachuted in for the first home game and then rode a motorcycle around the stadium. So they've got a budget for fireworks and a mascot. So big deal there right now.
So let me ask you this. How many times did you ever get the opportunity to meet Bobby Knight?
Actually, he came into the restaurant where I worked my sophomore and junior year a lot because he knew the owners. So it's not like I had a conversation with him. But
oh,
I
you never did. Had a conversation with Bobby Knight?
I feel like it was not something you were allowed to do as the wait staff.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like get the man what he wants. He was super polite.
Mm-hmm.
But he would always come in. If he came in, it was late after a game with his wife.
He never came in and threw a chair or nothing?
No chairs were ever thrown. He was very polite, and I remember he had an interesting drink that he would order. I think it was Sprite and orange juice mixed.
Sprite, orange juice mix.
Yeah. And then there was this was kind of a special opportunity. Too bad cell phones weren't invented back then in 1994, but there was a Hoosier Classic, and there were a bunch of big-time coaches that were all in town for this Hoosier Classic tournament. And then they all came in for dinner afterwards. And I remember this night so well because a certain group of us was asked to stay from midnight to 3 a.m. to cater this dinner for them. And I know Roy Williams was there. And I wish I could list off the other coaches, but I didn't appreciate those experiences then as an adult now.
And now you do.
That was a pretty special experience, yeah.
I know. That's insane. We're talking to Kelsey Carlson, Fox 9 News anchor here on The Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. Before we get to the top headlines that you'll be covering on the Fox 9 News tonight, I want to throw this at you. This was my opening topic tonight. According to a new report from Flex Jobs, okay, they have put out a report that says that with regards to those people out there that have access to PTO, okay, and we're talking about vacation time off. The report found that 23% of employees didn't take a single vacation day in the past year. 23%. And there are reasons why that people were reluctant. 43% felt that they had too much work to justify taking a vacation. 30% worried about falling behind. But where are you at with vacation? Like, do you take and utilize all of your vacation? Because I do. We have a use it or lose it. We can't roll it over. I'm not going to leave it on the table there. I'm going to use it up. But I also think that we all should use the vacation that we're given because, you know, a lot of times we talk about and hear the headlines about mental health and how people are struggling and how people are depressed and how people are dealing with this. Now, I think that with that being a big-time topic and everybody's concerned about it, you need to decompress. You need to take that time off. You need to take that time to just kind of take a deep breath, relax, and hit the reset button. How about you? Because we work in an environment where we have to deal with a lot of negativity, a lot of negative headlines, both in radio and television. What about you?
Yeah, it's super heavy. I think every job has stressful moments, and everybody needs an opportunity to break away, decompress, just turn things off, whatever that is. People need to have time off. It's important. So I'm not sure. I question that number, actually, because like if we didn't use our vacation time, we would be working all the holidays, too. So some people have generous time off. Maybe their company shuts down for 2 weeks around the holidays or something like that, and they don't have to use their vacation time for that. But I can't imagine going an entire year and not using a vacation day. I don't think that's healthy.
But we do know. But we do know the workaholics, though. So, like when I was in Kansas City, the guy that I was co-hosting a show with for 5.5 years, he never liked to take vacation days ever. Like he's the type of guy that was so obsessed with sports that he wants to talk sports in the commercial breaks. That the moment that we put the headsets down and we walk out to our desk, he wants to start asking me about like 4-3 defenses and breaking down the all 22. And I'm like, bro, the show is over. I don't want to talk about any of this. I'm headed to Lifetime and I'm going to the gym, or I want to go on a date. I don't want to sit here and talk Missouri football with you all night long. So we do have those people that are just so obsessed, and it depends on what the job is, where they just can't turn it off.
Yeah, but I do think it's so important for us. Any job, you need to have a break in order to stay sharp and focused on what you're doing too. And in order to keep loving what you do, it's important to take a break, get a hobby.
Go somewhere
beautiful and try new food.
Tell that to James Franklin from Penn State, former head coach. All right, Kelsey, tell us what are some of the top stories and things that you guys will be talking about this evening on the Fox 9 News.
All right, tonight at 9, we're talking about the vandalism at Temple Israel a couple of weeks ago. Some new photos have been released by the police department that show two potential suspects who are now wanted for spray painting hateful messages there on October the 8th. And they're asking for people in the area to look at their Ring door cameras or any other surveillance camera to see if they captured any images of these two people on bicycles with masks and then surgical gloves on their hands. Another story making headlines today. The Minnesota Supreme Court has ruled that a transgender powerlifter was discriminated against after being banned from women's events for USA powerlifting. So that's a big talker and a story that has also made some national headlines. This is a fun one. R&B singer Cisco, who has now made his home in Minnesota, is having a fundraiser at MOA this weekend for Annunciation Catholic Church and School for their Hope and Healing Fund. And that should be a lot of fun. He's going to perform. There's a Mario go-kart challenge. And so there's going to be a lot going on at Mall of America to take in with Cisco. A little blast from the past. And then our Maury story tonight is about a travel writer from Nebraska who is nearing the end of his journey to visit every town in our state.
Oh, wow.
And that, I know that's quite an accomplishment because you think, go to every corner of this state.
How many towns technically are there in the state?
I don't know. But there, some towns have a population of 50 people. There are a lot of municipalities in this state. So I can't imagine, it sounds like a fun thing to, a fun project to do if you had the time to just see what the difference is in the people and what they care about and what the identity of the town is, what they're known for. And it would be a lot of fun, the history. You know, why is this town even here? For a lot of people, it's a railroad came through back in the day and the town was built up around it. So I think that will be a fun story.
Hey, Kelsey, always a pleasure to have you on the show. We will be talking to you soon.
Okay, thanks. You guys have a good night.
All right, likewise. Kelsey Carlson, check her out tonight from the Fox 9 News, joining us here on The Lake Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get the headlines. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And let's dive right into headlines. Let's not waste any time because we got Mayor Jacob Fry coming up at the top of the hour.
All right, let's get to it. H. Lake, a Minnesota woman convicted of filling out and submitting a mail-in ballot for her deceased mother in support of Republican Donald Trump during the 2024 presidential election, was ordered by a judge to write an essay and read a book about voting's importance to democracy. Itasca County Attorney Jake Fauchild said the Minnesota case shows how well the election system works and catches attempted voter fraud. 51-year-old Danielle Christine Miller of Nashwalk in rural area about 3 hours north of Minneapolis was charged last fall with three felonies after local election officials noticed authorities in October. They notified authorities in October about two absentee ballots that had been flagged for fraud. One of those ballots was from a registered voter who had died, Miller's mother. According to court papers, Miller told an investigator that she had filled out her mother's absentee ballot and signed her mother's name on its signature envelope. She said her mother was an avid Trump supporter and wanted to vote for him, but she died in August 2024 before receiving an absentee ballot, according to the complaint. Miller also said she signed her mother's signature as a witness on her own ballot, according to the document.
Oh, gosh.
Now, the attorney said Miller pleaded guilty last week to intentionally making or signing a false certificate. As part of her plea, she claimed she was intoxicated when submitting the mail ballots and was unable to precisely remember what she did, but agreed that the evidence could find her guilty. Minnesota 9th Judicial District Judge Heidi Chandler on Wednesday dismissed the other two charges. Miller's sentence includes up to 3 years of supervised probation and an $885 fine. Miller must also read a book about the history of voting in America and current related issues. Quote, "Thank You for Voting, the Maddening, Enlightening, Inspiring Truth About Voting in America." And she was ordered to write a 10-page paper, quote, "regarding the importance in voting in a democracy and how election fraud can undermine the voting process."
So this woman, she committed voter fraud twice.
Correct. Yes, we found the voter fraud.
Yep. And she voted twice for Donald Trump.
Correct, yes. We found the voter fraud.
And her assignment was to read "Thank You for Voting, the Maddening, Enlightening, Inspiring Truth About Voting in America," and write a 10-page paper. That's it. That's it. I'm not sitting here at this microphone saying, throw her in jail and throw away the key. But you're not going to even go ahead and have her pay the $885 fine? That is the ultimate slap on the wrist.
Maybe she got a pardon from Donald Trump.
At the very least, like the supervised probation, I have no issue with that. Mm-hmm. But the $885 fine, she should have paid that. Sorry.
Yeah. Found the voter fraud. It's not what you think it would be.
What you got next?
Hey, a group that includes activist investor Jana Partners and Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce says it has accumulated one of the largest ownership stakes in Six Flags Entertainment and intends to press the company's leadership on ways to improve the struggling amusement park operator business. Yesterday, Jana said that the investor group now owns an economic interest of approximately 9% in Six Flags. The group plans to engage with Six Flags management and board of directors to discuss ways to enhance shareholder value and improve visitors' experience. Now, shares in the Charlotte, North Carolina-based Six Flags surged almost 18% in the news, but Six Flags reported a loss of $319.4 million for the first half of this year. Company said attendance fell 9% in the first 3 months, ended on June 29th, due partly to bad weather and what they called a challenged consumer in most of the markets it operates in. The investor group also includes consumer executive Glenn Murphy and technology executive Dave Habiger. In a statement, Kelsey said that he grew up going to Six Flags amusement parks. Quote, the chance to help make Six Flags special for the next generation is one I couldn't pass up.
All right, did you grow up as an amusement park guy?
No, not really. The only
not
one,
me either.
Yeah, the one we had was, I mean, Valley Fair was a big
Valley
deal
Fair.
To us.
Yep.
We did go to the Six Flags. When we were living in Missouri, we went to the Six Flags in Kansas City right off 35.
So I've never... Six Flags in Kansas City?
What was it?
No, that's Worlds of Fun.
Worlds of Fun. Sorry, yeah, Worlds of Fun.
Yeah, Worlds of Fun.
Worlds of Fun.
Six Flags is in... So the time that
St. Louis.
The time that I went to Six Flags was in Atlanta.
Okay.
And I know we had a big, like, college deal because you had all the colleges there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, a big day at Six Flags. And I remember that was a blast.
A lot of honeys?
You think?
Is that where Mariah Carey got the idea for the fantasy video, you know? Sweet, where she's riding the roller coaster?
Me and Mariah.
Yes.
Was ODB.
Oh, man, Mariah. Oh, Mariah in that video? Mwah. Chef's kiss, Mariah Carey. And finally here, Lake, Suzanne Somers may have died 2 years ago, but her husband of 55 years says he has a unique plan to keep her memory alive. Alan Hamill told People magazine that he's been working on an artificial intelligence clone of his late wife. Somers died in 2023 at the age of 76 after having survived an aggressive form of breast cancer for 23 years. He said he and Somers had conversations about it back in the 1980s once they learned about the concept from computer scientist and writer Ray Kurzel. Hamill added, so it was Suzanne's idea. The AI clone, which he had shared a demonstration of earlier this year at a conference, was trained using, quote, all of Suzanne's 27 books and a lot of interviews. So any question that she was asked at all, she'll be able to answer because the answer will be within her. Quote, it was Suzanne. I asked her a few questions. She'd answer that. It blew me away and everybody else away.
Yep.
When you look at the finished one, you can't tell the difference.
I'm not for the AI for any of these people. I'm not going to do it. I don't care if it's Tupac, whether it's Suzanne, whoever it is. Please don't do it. You know, you get one life, you get one great, and you move on. Coming up next, Mayor Jacob Fry in studio, Stephen Silton in studio, final hour of The Lake Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.